This week, I'm talking about Thursday. I'm going to be at the Egg in Albany. It's going to be an awesome show. This Thursday, the Egg in Albany. This Friday, Burlington, Vermont. I'm coming to hang out at the Flynn Center. Burlington, Vermont. I love coming up there hanging out. I'm glad I get a whole day. Go get a Sammy at my favorite sandwich place. Have a great show. Go to dansoder.com for tickets. Albany and Burlington. Oh, and Red Bank, New Jersey. The Count Basie Center. June 6th. I'm going to be there too. Don't forget. May 29th through May 31st, Appleton, Wisconsin at Skyline Comedy Club. So many shows to pick from. The Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour is happening. If you're in one of those cities, we're coming to a theater. But if you're in Albany or Vermont, we're coming this week. Like this week. Thursday, Friday. Thursday, Albany. Friday, Burlington. DanSoder.com for tickets. It's going to be a very fun show. I got Brendan Sagalow and Carmen Legala with me. Hell of a lineup. DanSoder.com. Buy tickets. Yeah. Fitzsimmons is so honest in a way that it, you know, when someone older than you says something and it makes your life different, where you go, oh yeah, he was writing on Crashing on the Pete Holmes show, which they filmed here in New York, and he was around the Village Underground all the time. So I talked to him. I love Fitzsimmons. So I was talking to him one night and I was like, ah, dude, you done? He's like, yeah, we wrapped yesterday. And I was like, you bummed? You bummed you were like sleeping in a hotel. Now you got to go back. And he goes, Soder, I'm not one of these comics that hates his wife. He goes, I got a good house. I love my kids. I fucked the shit out of my wife. I got it pretty good. And he said that in a way that I was like, yeah, why aren't we idolizing that kind of thought?
Right. Well, it's not as funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it doesn't get a laugh. Like, I love my wife humor.
Yeah, but
maybe it will come back. Maybe the world will come to that.
I think we're getting over the how dumb of a bitch is my wife.
I mean, because if you saw that on stage, you would be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, but there's a funny way to do that. Because right. I think, this is just my personal opinion, that whole like, this stupid bitch. It's like, well, you married her.
Right. No, I feel sad for you. I feel sad for the wife. I feel sad for the kids.
Which was a very popular comedy style 80s and 90s where they're like, oh my God, my family. Right. I do get the funny in that, obviously. But now we're at the point where I'm like, well, now I'm just thinking you're bad at decision making.
Right.
Like you locked yourself in.
It would be funny that if some, like you had that conversation, then someone, you flash cut to his wife and they're like, oh, Greg's coming back. And she's like, all he does is fuck me.
Yeah.
And I hate my kids. Yeah, the kids. Like, the wife.
You go, oh my God, it was her that hated it. She goes, yeah. Go on the road, you hack. And you're like, God damn it.
But I love you so much.
She goes, shut up, you pussy. I should have married my high school sweetheart. And you're like, oh, fuck. Dude, that is. So a story I was thinking about when I knew you were going to be on the podcast is your brother works in the NFL.
Yes, he does.
Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
Still
with the Bears.
But was with?
The Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
Where did he start?
The Dolphins, but he was with like the league office. He was sleeping on my couch. Like I'm trying to do comedy.
Yeah.
He's on my couch telling me he wants to be an NFL GM. And he was there for like 6 months. And I remember I was like, dude, you got to leave. There are too many dreams in this apartment.
That's so funny when the apartment's too small for both of your dreams.
We were both like, and I was like stepping over him. Like he was going through a tough time. He was out of like, he got his MBA. Like he's got like he has a resume that's a little bit different for most NFL coaches. Like
now, pause on that. Jewish mom is more proud of successful entertainer son, MBA and business son.
The thing is, she loves hearing from friends of hers who like my stuff.
Great.
So like at first, I think moms in general, but like specific, like Jewish moms are kind of big on this. It's like they can't be seen as, if a mom's seen as a failure, if they can't explain what their kid does in one sentence.
Makes sense.
So if you, that's why doctor, you are a good mom.
Lawyer.
Good mom. And so like my mom didn't
CEO.
Know how to. Good mom.
But even MBA.
Good mom. Oh, he's getting his grad, he's in grad school. Good mom. So at first, I don't think my mom knew how to like sell it.
That's so funny. Like she, my boy is a clown.
Right. A writer. She would say writer.
Oh, dude, my grandma held on to writer until she died.
Yeah.
I one time went to the bank.
My grandfather too.
I would send her checks or whatever. And the lady goes like, "You're such a good grandson. What do you do?" And my grandmother interrupted me. And she's like, "He's a writer." I'm like, "I'd probably say it's the weakest form of my part of my act."
Right.
I would say I have more voices and charisma than I am actually hard writing.
Right. This isn't a writing comic. But,
so your mom would use writer first.
She didn't even know. It was like, you ever hear your mom like try to explain your job? It's like nails on a chalkboard. Yeah. Like my mom would be like, "Well, he does the thing and you know,
have
he
you
goes,
ever seen right, comedy?
He thinks he's funny." And
but I feel like Jewish moms more than like a goy mom would be like entertainment. Would like
know how
to zhuzh it up.
She didn't know how to do that.
She didn't know how to zhuzh it up.
She couldn't. No. But then when people started like, and also like, because like I hear from a lot of women.
Yeah.
She would meet these like young girls who like somehow knew me.
And they
couldn't
nuts.
Believe it.
Like, would they put it together with your last name?
Well, my last name, or they saw her on my Instagram. They're like, she would get approached, and she thinks it's the funny. And I'll never forget. I started talking about my parents like the last couple of years. Like I never really did a little bit.
Yeah.
And I started doing stuff about my mom and my dad. I was telling this story, and I'm at the Cellar doing it, and I remember my parents came to a show. They'd never seen what I was doing.
They had never seen you do stand up.
They'd seen me do stand up, but they didn't see like this new stuff about them.
Yeah.
And the staff was like all the man, you know, we know everyone there. Yeah. Like, I remember Alicia, she was like, "Have they seen it?" And I'm like, "They fucking lived it. Like, I'm telling true stories." And so I sit them
it's
in the
different though.
I sit them in the jump seat and I go on stage. And as I'm telling the story about my mom's going, "No, no." She's like debating with me the stories that are absolutely true. Like, we still argue about these things. Everything I talk about with my family, like, we are still arguing. We are still debating.
From the jump seats?
From the jump seats.
At the Comedy Cellar, it's very small. It's a very small club. It's like 135 people. Mm-hmm. But when... it's usually sold out. When comedians have guests, there's these three seats by the Ray Romano poster in the corner.
Yes.
That it's the Everybody Love Raymond poster, and they put out these three like bench seats.
Yeah, you can pull them out.
Yeah.
And just to have whoever you're with come sit.
If a friend's with you, they can watch your set.
And my mom just is yelling out like, "No, no, that's not what happened. What? This is..." You know how like you would talk with your mom and she'd be like, "Well, no, you're being..."
Did you respond?
I go, "That's my mom." I like said it to the crowd and like people laughed even more because the stories are all like... I kind of made this like... this thing where I'm like, I'm only gonna tell stories that are true.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do, if it's not a fun story that I'm annoyed at, I'm not gonna do it. Like, no, like, even like, just, I just came to this conclusion. I mean, like, just like, I'm like, has it happened?
Yeah.
And I started doing that, and it just like kind of like became really like easy and fun for me. But it was also like, so then my parents started bringing their friends to shows. Their friends loved it because I'm making fun of my parents,
yeah,
and they like love giving my parents shit. So it's like all these Jews just laughing at my parents.
Oh.
And then like now they live in a country club. So it's like the things that happen, like my life now, like it's gotten weird because like I've gotten past the point where people are like, "What do you do?" Like they're like insulting.
Yeah.
Now they kind of like it. My parents live in this very confined Seinfeld parent reality.
Kind of like the what's the place in the Villages?
The Villages, like the
My friend's mom lives in the Villages.
And so this is very, like a smaller like, version. The Villages is its own zip code.
I know. The Villages and these places, what it is it's returning to high school when you're old.
Absolutely.
It's old high school.
You nailed it. Like I was golfing with my dad. And I'm trying to learn how to golf. I suck, but I'm trying to learn.
Same, I blow
at it. And
this
golf cart full of a family just pulls up next to me and starts like slowly trailing me as I'm golfing. And I'm like walking up to my ball, I'm like missing it. And they're like, trying to get good, huh? Like making fun of me as I'm golfing. And I'm like, what hell did I sign up for?
Who the fuck are you?
Right, like, and these things happen and you'll be, and it's like, it's improv everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, guys will come up to me. My dad will. I was with my dad once. This guy comes up to me and goes, "You're losing a little weight." My dad's like, "No, he's not losing any weight." Like, now we're having a debate over my body.
Damn.
It's dude. Just like, it's constant embarrassment. It's constant, like.
Dude,
like,
your mom shouting no at a bit is a nightmare.
It's crazy.
It's a nightmare.
No.
I'll never forget it. She listens to the podcast. Trish, thank you for never debating me.
Oh my God. Like, are you kidding me?
Trish, I've talked about insanely personal things about my mom. And one time I called my mom. I don't know if I've ever told this story before on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I've told the story publicly before, but not ever, never on this podcast. After I did Montreal in 2011, there was a show that Nick at Night was filming called Mom's Night Out.
I remember the show.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. They like did like a mom stand-up show.
Yes, and they filmed it in the old TRL studio.
Yes.
In Total Request Live, for those of you under the age of 30. And it was 1515 Broadway over Times Square. They had waiters that had trays of red and white wine. Mm-hmm. And my episode, the first episode I taped, was Judy Gold was the host. And it was just all moms. And all the comics were either moms or married with kids. And the producer, Brian, was like, Brian Baldinger, who's great. He was like, hey, I want you to do this show. You should do your mom jokes. And I was like, well, my jokes are about my mom dating. It's not really favorable. I don't make her look like mom of the year. I kind of joke around about it. And he's like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. They brought me up last. All the whole lineup was like women I've never heard of. Like comics.
I've like done shows with a bunch of these comics. They're around, you know, like
they're around, but you don't know they live in like Parsippany.
Right.
And then they come out and they go like, I do boats. And then sometimes I do the Tropicana in Atlantic City. But would fucking murder on this taping. They'd be like, my husband's asleep. And I said, can he sleep any longer? Crack. Just like, they're just funneling red and white wine. And then Judy Gold, I'll never forget, brings me up and she's like, are you ready for a man? And they're like, yeah. Like magic. And I literally went on stage and I was like, I feel like a male stripper. Like you brought me up just like a male stripper.
Everyone rubbing their nipples in the crowd. Like,
I got a hysterectomy. You can just lay one right in me. And you're like, bah. But I go up there and basically my set, which I did in Montreal, was my mom was a single mom talking about her boyfriend's trying to buy me over with toys. It was like this stuff kind of like my mom dates. My mom dates and, you know.
Right.
I didn't call her a slut, but I was like, oh, my mom's like.
She's out there.
She's out there. My mom's out in these streets.
Getting a taste.
When I was a kid, she was out in the streets. Dude, I also had this joke about being scared of scary movies when I was little. And I was so scared I pissed in the heating vent of my room. Okay. And I was like, the punchline was, it wasn't bad in the winter, but then my mom turned on the heat and my room smelled like a bus stop in the middle of July, hot piss. And I remember specifically, because I looked out on the Times Square, I went hot piss and collectively the audience went, no. I bombed so bad.
Really?
I bombed so bad. I was still waiting tables that the next day I got a call from Brian and he was like, hey, can you soften your setup? Like, can you take your set? Can you soften the jokes? And I was like, I needed the money so bad. It was like $1,500. Yeah. I was like, yeah, whatever. He's like, great. Why don't you come back tonight? And at the end of the episode, we'll have you do your set and then we'll edit it into the episode you're supposed to be in. I was like, great. I went back, bombed harder. Bombed so hard that it was silent.
Because like, I'm sure like, how do you soften it? You're like, I peed into the...
I took a wee-wee.
Right.
And then it smelled like tinkle.
Into the...
But dude.
I took a wee-wee in the central air. We had central air.
Which was nice.
And the redone bathroom.
My mother had a lovely art display in it. Like, the towels. Oh, the hand towels.
We would shop at TJ Maxx.
Guys, who remembers Talbot's? Right. But there was... It was so bad. And also the makeup they put on us was like Fox News makeup. So it was like plastered on. I bombed so hard that I just got off stage, grabbed my backpack, didn't remove the makeup, walked downstairs and walked to a bar in Times Square and started drinking. Yeah. Nate Bargatze taped that night on that episode, murdered. Mm. And then I just get a text where he goes, where are you? And I was like, oh, I was somewhere like O'Sullivan's on 9th Avenue. And he was like, Jesus. But dude,
Bubba Gump. Three stools in.
I'm hammered and I'm eating shrimp. Coconut shrimp. Pineapple shrimp. I just keep taking
Jambalaya shrimp.
Nick goes, all right, you're too drunk. You're too much shrimp.
Whiskey soda.
But I called my mom and I was like, are these jokes like fucked up? Mm. And shout out to my mom, dude. She's a real one. She goes, hey, you lived it. If you can write that joke,
right.
Write that joke. Well, and that was our policy moving forward. Right. She's like, if you live through it, who am I to tell you not to joke around about
it? And it's also, that's why it's not mean. It's just, you're just telling a caring story.
Yeah.
You know, about what happened and the viewpoint you had of that thing.
And now
happening.
She loves it. I have a joke right now in my act about her and my stepdad and I going out to lunch. And she saw me at Palace Fine Arts in San Francisco and she came backstage with her friends and she was like, 100% real. That's like what she was saying to her friends, which I bet your parents do.
No, I did Dania Beach. They brought all their friends. I didn't have like new shit. I was like trying to like work. I was like, because my parents will literally look at me. They'll be like, you better have new material. Like we already saw. And I like hadn't taped yet. And I'm like trying to like, so I'm like for them, literally 3 nights before my dad offered me his Ozempic. So I did this whole bit about my dad pushing his Ozempic on me and my mom being like, yeah, do it. Like they're both
reverse peer pressure.
Oh, it's two high school drug dealers. That's what I say. Like
that's
I compare,
so
and
funny.
They're like, "Do it, you pussy!" Yeah. Like, and I'm like,
"All the cool kids are doing it."
Right. I do this whole bit about it, and I'm like talking about how crazy it is, and you can hear the audience being like, "Ugh." Yeah. Like, it's like all Jews with body issues. Like, who would do this? Go to therapy.
Stop.
Hurry.
He's got a nice tush.
Right. And
what are you doing?
And my mom and dad are like in the audience like, like they think it's hilarious. Like the whole audience is like, you need therapy. And my parents are like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah,
like,
that's so funny to think of your dad in bed with his readers on and your mom goes, we should bully Jared. He goes, that would be a good bit.
Right.
Like they're writing for you. They're like, oh, that's
sometimes
a good bit.
It feels like they are writing for me. I'm like, no one would believe this. Like,
yeah, my mom's
just
all,
the way they live.
My mom's very like awesome. She's awesome as a comedy mom. I learned early on I didn't like knowing when she was there. Because, you know, you talk different in front of your parents.
Oh, totally.
Can't talk to your friends. So we had a deal when I would work Comedy Works. She knew Wendy. She knew, like, the GM.
Mm-hmm.
She would do a thing where she wouldn't tell me which show she came to. And then at the end of the weekend.
That's the opposite of my parents are like, we better have seats.
Oh, yeah.
They better be up front. They know not. One time I did a show at Broken Sound Country Club. Okay, this is like a nice Jewish country club in Boca.
Yeah.
They booked me. It was through Gotham. Like somehow someone was like, we should get Jared. And it was, and I go on stage and my dad, it's like their like function hall, like whatever. And I'll never forget it. It's like the community. So they know who lives there.
Sure.
And my dad was like, I need 9 tickets. And I go, 9 tickets? I go, it's sold out. Like they're all, I'll get you 9 tickets. So then I get him 9 tickets, but he brought like another person. So he didn't have a seat. So I go on stage. He is literally on the right of the stage. He was perched up like an eagle in the windowsill. Like he's sitting in the windowsill, like, you know, like above the seats. Yeah. So then the crowd, he looks like me. So every time I do a joke about my family, the whole crowd, like all these Jewish people, they're all just like nosy fucking assholes. And I'd make a joke and then they'd look at him.
Yeah.
And then they'd look at me.
That's so.
And then they'd like not laugh. Yeah. And I'm like, and I remember I get off stage and I was so angry. I'm like, you know, you just start rushing through it. You're like, don't even, like the smart thing would have been to like, take a step back.
Acknowledge it.
Make fun of my dad sitting right there. Yell at him. Yell at the Jews. I didn't. I went the other way and I got off stage and we go to the back and I remember like, they have this like back room set up and I go, what the fuck are you doing sitting up front? That's perched like a fucking eagle hovering over the show. Everyone keeps looking at you.
What was his excuse?
And he was like, I just wanted a seat. I was just looking to sit.
Doesn't that
at
hurt?
The show? And I go, yeah, I would want to sit too, but why don't you go to the back where people don't see the older version of me sitting next to me? Look like you were haunting the room.
They go, look at his looper. He's upset. His looper is upset with how his set's going.
Right, he doesn't even think he's funny.
So I remember years ago, my old pal Nick Mullen telling me about a wallet he got, a Ridge wallet. And I was like, oh, what is it? Like, I looked at it. I remember him showing it to me specifically. And I remember being like, that's like a space wallet. It's metal. It's just, but then you know what it was? I realized this thing is like a tank. You can have this wallet forever. And then Ridge Wallet was like, hey, do you want one? And I was like, absolutely. They're awesome. Unique, slim, modern design, holds up to 12 cards plus cash, and it's made with premium materials like aluminum, titanium, and carbon fiber. Listen, there's over 50 colors, so you can get one. They sent me a nice forest green one that I love. And all Ridge wallets have a lifetime guarantee. So there you go. You buy this wallet, last one you're ever going to need. It gives you peace of mind knowing that all Ridge wallets have RFID blocking technology, keeping you safe from digital pickpocketers. You know, people can just walk up with their phones and bloop, bloop, take your, they can just take your info like that. Well, guess what? Not with a Ridge wallet. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off Ridge using the code SOTER at checkout. Just head to Ridge, R-I-D-G-E, R-I-D-G-E, want to make sure I said that right, .com, and use code SOTER. You're all set. After your purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them that we sent you. Thank you. It's really cool you do that. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You boys and girls know that I love therapy. I love spilling the beans and finding out what's wrong with me. Just getting those cords organized. But seriously, therapy is, I think it should, a lot of people should consider it mandatory, like exercise, because it really helps your brain and then you don't go out there and spill your crap on everyone else. Because mental health awareness is growing, but there's still like a lot of progress to be made. 26% of Americans who participated in a recent survey say they have avoided seeking mental health support due to fear of judgment. Well, we're not judging you. In fact, I'm telling you, go do it. Your life will be better. If you think about it like this, think about therapy like wiping your butt. You wouldn't just take a poop, get up and leave, right? Get all crusty cheeks. No, you'd wipe your butt so it's nice and clean. So go wipe your brain butt. Go to therapy. And BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy both affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. Easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. We're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/Soder to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Soder. When your parents are supportive, you don't realize sometimes that they can be incorrectly supportive.
Yeah, and again, like that's right. And then if you give them feedback, they're like, I just was there for you.
I love you.
Right. And you're like, yeah. What am I supposed to say to that? Like, do it different.
I know. Right. I know. Do they ever do that shit back to your brother? Do they ever overstep their boundaries?
I know that my brother and I have the same issue with tickets. Like, he's got to like help them go to a game. And then they're like, my parents.
And by the way, NFL tickets. Sorry, comedians. I know you want to act important. Much harder to get.
Harder to get, but it's harder to get, but it's the same. Like, okay, where do we get them? And it's like, I'm working. You know, like just like we have a show. If it's 10 minutes before and your parents are like, hey, where are the tickets going to be? And do we have the backstage pass? We can kind of, it's easier for us to like work out with a manager, put it at the door. There's a ticket box office. This is a huge stadium. So like my brother gets
will call's hard to find.
Will call. And then it's like, hey, where are the tickets to the back room that gets us the free food? And it's like, so he has to deal with that shit worse than me.
He's like, also with the Chicago Bears who aren't doing so hot.
So then it's like, who do you ask? Like, and like I go by myself. I'll go to the game and it's like, and like, I know not to be a pain. Like, sure. I'll text them a day before and then we're done. My mom's not doing that. Going like till the minute of the game, you know, like the kickoff. She's like, where's the food going to be? Yeah.
Do I get to meet any of them? And you go, they're playing in a game.
They do have an on-field thing. So you can get, he gets us like an on-field pass.
Yeah, before the game.
And there's like an area for you to walk. Yes. And we go there all the time. And like,
you go up to the rope.
Yeah.
I've only seen it once, and it was Cousin McDaniel that I got to go beyond the rope.
Oh, really?
Because I've watched McDaniel go from every level of coaching.
Sure.
Quality control coach. You get tickets at the top.
Yes.
One time, Nate, his wife, and I went to when McDaniel was in Washington as the receivers coach. Mm-hmm. We went up for a Washington game, and McDaniel was like, I got you tickets, and they were like top of the stadium.
Right.
And then I sat with his wife in like the coach's wife section, which was much better. But Nate and Laura were like all the way up the top.
And it's beggars can't be choosers. You're like, I wouldn't have come if I had known this was the hookup.
Which is so funny because then, exactly. Well, what's so funny is We were 2017, we went to 49ers at Eagles. So at this point, Kyle Shanahan's brought Mike to the 49ers, which is awesome for me. And we're on the bonfire and we're like, we got to go to this game. Vecchione's an Eagles fan. Big J, obviously an Eagles fan. And I asked McDaniel, I'm like, can you get us four tickets? And he's like, yeah. And at commercial break, we looked up where the tickets were. Top of the link.
Right.
Like in Lincoln Financial. Again, free tickets. Totally appreciate it. But I was like, you know what? We want good seats. 49ers were horrible that year. So I bought four tickets down.
Yeah.
Didn't tell McDaniel. Just bought the four tickets. So we had four extra tickets. So then this is when Shane was like living in Harrisburg, I think. So the tickets were Jay's sister, her husband, Shane, and I think six, and they all sat up there, and Shane was like, all I had was money for one beer. And now Shane's on the field with the Eagles when they win the Super Bowl. Less than 7 years later.
Life comes at you fast,
it's
man.
It's so funny that Shane's like, yeah, the Eagles, I went to their after party. I held the Lombardi trophy. And I remember being at a Niner game and him being at like the second to top row because of McDaniel's
like
tickets.
I picked Jeffrey Lurie's nose.
Yeah, dude, it's wild.
So weird. They just do that after wins.
What's funny about that
they let you do it.
And then now he's a head coach. So now I don't get a ticket. Now I go to his house.
Oh.
And I get a ride with his wife and daughter.
And you're in the box.
And they you pull into the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You walk onto the field. You go past the rope. Pretty sick.
Big time.
But only if it's like, I only get past the rope if it's like me, my friend Chad, and his wife Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us and Katie. The four of us can get past the rope. More than four people, you're on the other side of the
rope.
That's
where it gets like, and then you do kind of like, there's a moment where you start offering it up. You're like, well, we can get on the field. We're cool. Yeah. And then I went with like my high school friends and we had one on the field pass. That's we were so like funny. Passing it back to each other.
You're like, so go. It's
like, yeah, I'm like, you do it. I've done it before. Yeah. And they're like on FaceTime with their kids. The kids are like freaking out.
They're like, look at that. It's like, Caleb, they can't
believe it. And I'm like, you need it more than me. I can.
It's funny watching Mike sign mini helmets now.
That's wild.
Like we went and hung
he's
out.
He's a celebrity. Like, I mean, of the coaches too. Like,
he's funny.
Yeah, he's people got like a funny coach. Right.
But we went and like hung out and there was like a bunch of people, like his wife's brother and his friends or whatever. And they were really, really sweet. And at the end of the hang, they were like, could you sign a helmet for my kid or whatever? And then Mike, like, it's weird to have like a hang and then at the end everyone goes, can you sign some stuff for me?
Right.
And you're like, yeah, sure. He's just sitting in his living room, like, yeah. But it's been really cool to watch the progression
of
happen.
Of course.
But the ticket situation, you're kind of like,
I don't envy it.
Which brings up the point of the funniest thing was, you get comfortable, it's basically what you're saying, you get comfortable with where your friends are at, where your family are at, in their positions of power.
Right.
Until they get too much power, and then it gets weird. I have a hard time now asking Shane for tickets, because it's a sold out arena, and I feel a little weird being like, hey, my buddy in fucking Pittsburgh wants to come see you. Can I get a ticket? He's totally cool about
sure.
it.
Sure.
But your brother was working for the Dolphins.
Yes.
McDaniel got hired as the new head coach of the Dolphins. And you were like, my brother wants to keep his job. Can you talk to him? And it was so awkward writing a text where I was like, hey, dude. My friend Jared Freed's brother works for the Dolphins. But could you keep him? It was like a weird thing.
Well, it's funny because like I got a text basically like, hey, just let... like." He was being hired, and my brother's still on contract. You know, he was there, and basically he was like, he texted me. He goes, just tell Soder that you know that he knows the brother and he works there.
Yeah.
And there's a guy there that is a friendly guy.
A friend of a friend
that he just wanted, like, it wasn't even like hire him, but it was like, just let him know he's a cool dude.
I wish
that was kind of like, dude, I think that was the ask because I was like, I don't know how to text Soder. Like,
my texts erase after a year.
I do the same thing.
God, I really hope this text.
It's so funny because it was more just like, let him know there's a guy here who's easy to deal with. Because you've probably, I think you've met Harry before. You've met my brother before. Like, you know, everyone gets along with him. Like, he's not like he's an easy hang. So
damn, I don't have it.
It is funny because like I was like, okay, how do I let Soder know?
Damn, I don't have it. I have it.
Just say he's a cool dude. Like that was kind of like the ask. It wasn't like, No, because it is funny because it's like, oh, your friend's the coach of the Miami Dolphins. Could you get my friend a job? He's good on Madden. It's like kind of like, but that's how people treat like NFL stuff. Like they're like, well, like
my buddy loves football. You should hire him.
Right, just hire him. Like, you know, like we get that with comedy, but not in like a actual way. Like
there's no one going like, hey, can my buddy open for you? He's pretty funny at the bar.
They'll say it as a joke. They'll be like, he's funny. You should be right together. And you're like, oh, yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, with the NFL, everyone thinks they know Monday morning quarterback, you know, armchair quarterback. Like, this is all like, and hey, like, so I've really been, you know.
So it was just been, so, I didn't know how to write that text. It just being so like, funny. So my friend Jared's brother. Super cool dude.
And he gets face, you know, like when he got hired, you know, he had to go like meet with him and like.
Well, dude, that's so here's the thing I don't understand. It's like what you were talking about, what your parents do to your brother, where they're like, where's the buffet? Where's the tickets? How do we get in? I don't realize my buddy is taking over the toughest job of his life.
Right.
Where he's got to come in. He's got to learn how to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. He's got to, you know, he knows how organizations run, but now he's getting.
He's never done it.
He's getting his fingers in the mud.
Yeah. And like, you have to hire a staff. Like that is like a, you know, like.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got people you already trust and you made promises and, you know, and all of it's, you know, just like anything, comedy, you realize everything's the same. It's all relationships. It's all like. Yeah, I just like this guy and I work with him and I'm going to have to spend hours at the office with him. Like, he's going to be the guy that does this job.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't care. You know, my friend's really funny. Can they open for you? I don't want to be on the road with a stranger.
I don't know you.
Yeah. Like,
I did that recently. I love my agent. My agent was like, hey, I got this other client. He should do this date, this date, this date. I go, I don't even know the guy.
Right.
Why would I give him three dates?
Right.
Date one goes bad. We got two more that I'm going to be mad at you.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to be so mad at you. I'm going to be like, why the fuck did I listen to this
right.
guy? Because you don't understand. It's like jobs where people want to give input are often jobs where you're like, I don't think you understand the dynamics of this.
Right. There's a lot of other things going on.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I need. Like, you know. Again, like someone who opens for you is just like, it has to be such the right fit.
You have to, you're traveling with them, you're working with them, but more importantly, you're spending a lot of dead time with them.
Dead time.
So if it isn't like a fun hang for you, it really is like, what's the point?
Yeah. And again, like that's like, you know, there's a lot of people that can make people laugh. You know, like it starts hard to make people laugh and then easy to be cool. It goes from that to easy to make people laugh, hard to be cool.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're looking for is like this good mix of like, do you make people laugh? And are you someone that's not going to bother me during the day when I want to do my own thing? And you're not like, so are we going to go to the museum? Yeah. Like, I'm like, no, I'm going to.
I want to nap until two.
Right. I'm going to see you at the show.
Yeah. That's like, and so when, but I genuinely, even though we're talking about this, I genuinely felt. When your brother didn't get the job, that I was like, it was my text. It was my text. My text could have been better.
I think he was just like, here's a shot in the dark. Because, like, again, like, there's...
But he landed on his feet.
Well, he got hired immediately by the Bears and then went there. And, you know, then this new coaching staff is getting brought in. And this became another season of, like, what's going to happen? And he knew Ben Johnson from Miami. So they had a relationship before. And, like, you know, that turned into, like... What's this going to be? And I, you know, I stayed away. Like, I can't even talk to my brother after a game. Like, they lose. I'm like,
dude,
I can't. Like, I went to
it after they lose.
You can't. I don't know what to do. Like,
if these people that are fans, they're doing a lot of these commercials during the NCAA tournament, which is it's showing you if they're doing these commercials now, it shows you how bad it's gotten with gambling. Oh. They're doing these commercials where they're like, hey, don't threaten college athletes. That's literally the commercial. They're like, hey, they're...
Hey, man, I know you put your mortgage on NC State.
Sorry.
We're sorry, but can you not threaten a 17-year-old?
But, dude, they get, like... No, after the first year gambling was legal, I saw it directly affect the way that, like... And not just McDaniel. I'm talking about other coaches being like, yeah, we're getting, like, phone calls. Like, people are finding unlisted phone numbers and threatening them. being like, I'll fucking kill you.
Oh my God.
But by the way, on games they win.
Right.
On games they win. They'll be like, you're fucking dead.
And I needed three more yards to win DraftKings.
He beat the Broncos 70-10.
Mm-hmm.
Got threats. I remember.
That's crazy.
Got threats.
Well, that's
because he chose to run the clock out and not break the record. And people are like, you fucking, you cost me money.
Well, have you been to an NFL game? Like, the people that go, like, they're animals. Like, well, there's not, like...
I grew up going to NFL games. And
it's the worst stadium experience.
But it also, there was a part of it that, like, at least growing up when you would go, you'd kind of be like, well, we're all here to cheer on the team. Or
you don't know what people are cheering for.
Now, it's like with gambling. And it's just like... seeing that commercial during the NCAA tournament, you're like, oh, they're already starting to acknowledge it's a problem, which, trust me, they don't want to acknowledge that it's a problem.
No, I mean, like...
But these people being like, stop threatening their lives, guys.
I mean, it happened quickly, too. Remember they'd be like the Swami would like kind of reference gambling. Like, it was like this big joke. Now you turn on ESPN, the whole show is just...
Do they do ESPN Bet?
They
bought...
One long
sports book.
I feel like I'm at a casino.
All their commercials are literally like, what do I call my parlay? I'm the queen of parlays. Right. It's like you shouldn't be. But now kids are watching sports thinking it's gambling. Also, I'm just going to say it. Gambling with apps, pussy way to go. You back in the day, you had to go to a bookie. You had to go to a guy that might hurt you if your bet didn't go through. And now you're like, oh. I bet money and I lost on an app. It's like, fuck you. Old school gambling guys would be like, hey, I need the $1,000 or I'm going to break your fucking legs.
Right.
That's what gambling needs to go back to. The threat of serious violence.
This is, I mean, there's a correlation to dating.
Yeah.
You know, the dating apps are just, is just a gambling app.
Yeah.
Like you kind of don't feel the rejection. You don't feel the hurt of losing. You don't have to pay the money with every bet. You don't have to go out of the house to do it. Like if you want to be a stud, you can just be a stud from your couch. If you want to be a gambler, like you don't have to go to any casino. You don't have to like meet some guy that's going to be like a little bit weird.
For people that don't realize it, Rocky Balboa in Rocky.
Yes.
Is a loan shark.
He's the muscle. He's the muscle for the loan shark. Yeah.
So Rocky's entire job before he fights Apollo Creed is fucking people up, and that's the whole reason you like him is because he kind of feels a little bad that you got to break someone's fucking hands,
right?
Because you gambled and now you got. But there is no like, I think you're absolutely right with the dating apps, dude. Like getting rejected real time,
right?
It sticks with you,
and you better have thick skin, dude, like
I remember. Bar None. I don't know if it's open anymore.
Bar None.
There was a great room in the back.
In the back, I remember it. The Bar None show. Yeah.
But they would do Bar None comedy shows, and they had shot girls that had little tubes of shots. Fresh in New York, beautiful girl working a shot glass thing. You know, they kind of flirt with you like strippers.
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm buying some tubes. I'm getting blacked out on some tubes. And I was like, can I get your number? And then she was like, here you go. And she wrote down something, and I thought I was getting her number. And she goes, here's my MySpace handle. And I was like, oi. Which is, that's clearly a rejection. But you just got to take it. I can't go like fucking slut. New follower. Like it's an app.
She was ahead of her time.
Dude, she knew how to.
She was like.
Well, by the way, that's a shot girl. She knew how to evade.
Right. She was getting like, 30 attempts a night.
Yeah, she's just swatting. Yeah. Swatting MySpace. MySpace. Probably not even a real URL.
Matumbo.
Yeah, she was just. Not in the house of Ashley. She's like, you want to come in here?
Yeah.
You are not going to happen.
What do you think? Can I have your numbers going to work on this?
Oh,
dick?
My God. Get just because I said a couple of lines.
Right.
But you're right. We need to bring back the like, it's also the way people talk shit. People don't, back in the day, if you talk shit to someone's face, there's a percentage that you could get into a fight.
If you're in arm's length.
They could grab you. And now what happens is when people talk shit in public and someone grabs them, they're the victim. Even though they didn't start it.
Start taping.
It's like, this guy was violent and grabbed me. You go, what did you say to him?
I was talking with someone the other day. I just think it's so funny when two people start taping each other. And someone, you know, when they get into fights and then just, so now it's just two people. And someone
that's the modern high noon.
just two people like you're gonna like and basically being like my group will hate you and they're like my group will hate you
just
and
fight.
Someone said I was where was I? It was such a funny line. I was so jealous of it. They said I'm trying to remember who said it, but it was they were like it was like two wizards.
That's so funny.
Putting spells on each other. Like,
you know what's so funny? If you slap their phone, they would call the cops.
Right.
If you,
did
slap
you see Rory McIlroy?
No.
He's at a golf tournament. Some guy yelled out at him. He goes, walks right over to him, takes his phone out of his hand, and then just walks away.
And the guy probably became a victim.
The guy just was like, and every so then the rest of the weekend, he's every time he'd hit the ball, you know how people, you're like, ba ba booey after they hit it. Yeah. People kept yelling, where's my phone?
That's great. That's fun. That's fun.
Made me laugh.
But
every time.
We like the internet has done this thing where it's like, nerfed consequences.
You know, I
where it's like, you don't have any consequences for fucking talking shit. It's like it's battery in New York.
Well, the Jason Kelce video, he was at Penn State.
Yeah.
And
your alma mater.
My alma mater. He just took some guy being a piece of shit, took the phone, smashed on the ground, and you just felt good. Like, I watched it.
By the way, that went viral immediately because everyone went, yeah, because
finally,
because he was filming Jason Kelce walking into the stadium, talking shit about his brother's girlfriend.
Right.
And your feelings about Taylor Swift don't matter. When it comes down to that, his brother's girlfriend.
Right.
You're talking shit. He's a brother. He's his, you know.
And I just loved that the world came together to be like,
fuck that kid.
Good. Like, and
did that kid try to be the victim?
I don't know. I just know that maybe we all took his sides. I think the world took his sides so much that, like,
the kid was like, fuck.
Like, I got nothing. Yeah, I got no group.
That rarely happens anymore.
Rarely.
God damn, when it happens, is it great?
Feels
when everyone's
so good.
Like, no, you're wrong. And the person's like, ah.
They've been calling it the alpha victim. It's like, you alpha, you're what you use your victimhood to, like, alpha someone out of their position.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? This is how you're coming at people? You know, like, right, everybody, I was bullied. And it's like, you're going to bully someone because you were bullied?
But that's what I thought was so funny about the Drake lawsuit. Guys, I remember being on the Fully Loaded tour with Bert Kreischer, and they treat you like kings on this tour. It's a very fun show, but they give you this swag bag with, like, everything. And they gave me Chubby's swim trunks. And at first, I was like, this is too much thigh. I got bird legs. I can't be showing this much thigh. But then as the summer went on and I wore these Chubby's bathing suits, I was like, these are so comfortable. I feel kind of like a dad without the kids, like in the way that I'm rocking this bathing suit. But it is it's age appropriate. And then I started seeing other stuff that Chubby's has. And I was like, oh, this company rules. By the way, I'm on my second pair of bathing suits. They're Niner themed and I love them. But they also got other stuff that's just crazy comfortable. They got the original stretch shorts, depending on how much thigh you're looking to show. They can make them 4-inch, 5.5, 7-inch seams. These shorts stretch fabric, and also it's just like you feel like you can high kick, like you're 11 years old again. You compare that with the original stretch shorts with the Chubby lineup of performance polos, maybe if you're golfing, and of course the Chubby's classic lined swim collection. They're good. They're very good. They're fresh. And without hyperbole, the absolute top of men's swim game. I'm not lying. I love these swimsuit, and I'm excited for it to get hot again so I could splash around in my Chubbies. Sure, I have to shave my back now in the summers, but whatever. I got my Chubbies on. I'm ready to splish splash. So whether you're getting dressed for your workday or a workout or a weekend getaway, Chubbies has got you covered. For a limited time, Chubbies has given our viewers 20% off your order with the code SODER20 at chubbyshorts.com. That's SODER20 at chubbyshorts.com. Support our show and tell them we sent you. Don't blend in with the crowd. Stand out with Chubbies.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Where he tried, right. Like, I understand he had problems, and I don't know a lot about it, so I'm not going to be like, this is where I stand. I just thought the basic facts are, Drake started, called out Kendrick Lamar.
Right.
Started it. And then it got so bad for him that he filed a lawsuit.
Right.
Being like, this isn't fair. And it's like, you started the fight. You started the fight. And right. Then
and then the lawsuit is almost, again, to accuse someone of pedophilia, I think that's
crazy.
That's the road it went down.
Crazy
where
road.
He's like, whoa.
But that's where, by the way, that's where everyone goes now. Politicians, rappers, everyone. If they don't like somebody, they just go, you know, I heard his fucking kids.
And no one, and
everyone's like, Jesus.
Because that, you know what that does? That takes everyone out of the picture. Everyone goes,
no one can support it.
I'm not defending. I don't know. If it's true, I'm not getting involved.
Dude, I was talking to Lev Furr about this at the Cellar last night, but there are people that are so far left that they go, well, pedophilia is a sexual orientation.
And you
go,
fuck,
dude, I swear to God. He showed it to me online. There are people that have been on podcasts saying that.
Yeah, but I'm not.
And you go like, that is class A retarded. That is like,
I'm not,
you can't live alone, you're that retarded.
I'm not. This is the problem though. We're giving a pulpit to like a group that's like three people.
Yeah.
Like when you say, well, people are saying, and this is like,
you're right, there really is like three people with purple hair that like, actually I think it's pretty woke.
And you're like, and you're wait like, a minute, why we're listening to three? The like, if you were Thanksgiving and it was your craziest relative, you go, oh, that's the crazy relative. Yeah, like no uncle. One ever does.
He's
like
nuts.
Yeah, just like, let's just like, can we start like calling people the crazy relative?
That's what my therapist said about like, sometimes you get, and I'm sure you do, you get like crazy messages on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
That are legitimately like scary sometimes, that you're like, this person's mentally not there.
Right, and you don't know what you're responsible for. Like, someone writes you a crazy thing, you're like, I feel bad. Like, it's just like, they're like almost like poisoning you with their poison.
Yeah.
And then you go,
yes, that's exactly.
And it's just like, I just tasted
the fucking
horrific
nuts.
Thing they're going through.
But my therapist goes, I don't know, if you saw a crazy person on the street, would you stop and talk to them? And you go,
no.
He goes, that's just how you got to treat it.
Right.
These people can get online. Crazy doesn't know how to not operate a phone.
Well, that's why we have to be better at not talking about these people.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have come, I had a real, when I was in Australia, I was like, people were like messaging me, and I was like, I got a couple messages where they're like loving my stuff, but they didn't follow me. So I was like, I'm like mad about it. And I'm like, why? I'm like, what am I doing? Like, they like my stuff.
Upset?
I'm getting upset.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but how will I have a career? Like, my brain goes to like, how am I gonna?
I need the
numbers. Are you using me? You know, and
yeah.
I said to myself, I go, Jared, you're a small timer. Like, stop being a small timer. You think it's one person?
Yeah.
Is gonna like make or break you. This is small time.
That's similar
loser shit. You're a fucking loser, Jared.
That's like, so when
I
you get
my whole vacation looking in the mirror,
that's
going,
very
you
healthy.
Fucking loser.
But that also is the delusion of like, when a LA number calls you, you go, this is clearly, this is Hollywood calling.
Mr. Hollywood.
Calling and tell me I fucking made it. And then you're Mr. like, it's Hollywood a guy you did an open mic with that's like, hey, I'm out in New York. Can you get me spots? And you're like, no, fuck. But I feel bad for like something that people didn't take into account on the internet early on was how crazy everyone is and how insecure everyone is.
Right.
Because the insecurity, sometimes when you just acknowledge people, they'll be like, ah, fuck, dude, I was crazy.
Right.
I'm sorry. I was going fucking nuts back
then.
That makes you feel more human.
My favorite thing to write back to people is like, I'm so sorry. I'll take it down right away.
That's funny.
I just do that to everyone.
And then they go, I'm not mad at you.
Well, I don't want to take it. No, that's not what I'm. No.
Well, have you ever been like really late to something or like frustrated and you take it out on people that are on your way to the thing?
What do you mean?
Like if you're running late for like a meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And then a lady takes too long getting on an elevator.
Oh my
you
God.
You take it out on her.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
But it's not, that's not the issue. The issue is you that you're
fucking late.
You fucked up. Yeah. You're late. And now you're mad at the people that are in your way.
Oh,
that's what the entire internet is.
Yeah.
You just go like, shut the fuck up.
Finding
and go,
someone on their worst day.
And you go, I didn't, that wasn't even.
I had this thing. I'll never forget. I was on a flight from LA to Miami.
Great.
And I'm like not
probably the best people on that flight.
I mean, I'm middle seat, Delta comfy, and
nice.
I
got the leg room.
My phone, and I'm like mad that I'm going to Miami. I'm mad that I'm like I was leaving LA. I'm like hammered on this flight. I start drinking, and there was this Jimmy Fallon clip, and it was Michael Phelps talking about mental health, and he's like, and I'm like, is this the 30th time I've seen this fucking asshole talk about mental health? I'm like, who the fuck is paying him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and also he's lecturing me on how to like, he's going, you know, when I get, there's this video, you can find it. He goes, you know, when I get down, I call my buddy Chucky and we just talk as boys. And Fallon's like, Chucky, he goes, Charles Barkley. And you're like,
so you're funny.
Like, you're like, oh, I'll just, oh, that's good advice.
Cool. Let me call Dominique Hawkins.
Right. So guys, what I'm saying is you got to call your buddies. And I'm like, and I commented something along the lines of like, this guy with 30 million gold medals needs to stop telling me to be happy. Like, I was like, yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you set every record. Be happy.
Right, right. At this point, if you're not happy, just a fucking peer. Mm-hmm. Like, and all these people, and it's funny because like, I'm basically talking shit about a guy promoting mental health.
Yeah,
like,
who's trying to help people.
Right, he's trying to help people.
He's actually trying
to
help
people. And I'm sitting there, I'm like this ogre. I'm like, you fucking loser.
You piece of shit. Like, but no one thinks about how annoyed Charles Barkley is getting those calls.
Can you imagine?
Where he's just watching TV, he goes, oh, damn it. It's Michael Phelps again. I got to take this.
Sad Michael.
Oh, hold on. What's up, Mike? What are you bummed about? You don't like being on dry land? Do you not like dry land, Michael? He goes, it's so dry here.
I got so mad, and then all these people got so angry at me for talking shit about mental health. And then I went and watched the interview, and he actually, in the interview, he gives, there's like a real quote where he's like, you know, it's just like, I couldn't be near the water anymore because I wasn't who I used to be. And I go, that is like, that's the mental health clip. That's what I want to hear. Like,
yeah, you can't go into water because you used to be the fastest man.
Right. And now you have to deal with your mortality.
Yeah, he goes, what's the point of being just a man when I was a water god? What I could fly through the water.
Can't even fuck my wife anymore. Yeah, I used to be this dolphin.
I step in a puddle and I'm disgusted. I said I used to fly through puddles. Yeah, it's so weird to be like, but I also get it. When you're like the most dominant, it's always why.
That makes sense to me.
It's why I always am happy. A lot of people hate it, but when I see former athletes do podcasts, it's like a farm for old dogs where you go, good job, guys. Just running that field.
You found something.
Yeah, because sometimes, I mean, like some of them I love, but some of them I never am mad about it. I'm always like, good for you, dude.
I think they have one good episode in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, have you ever read the quotes?
Some of them are charming. Some of them are like...
Yeah, but they'd be a good guest.
Yes.
I think they're not meant to host a show.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them...
But everyone does podcasts now.
Everyone. I do a podcast where I read headlines from Page Six on Thursdays.
Great.
And I, like, just, like, read the articles from Page Six and, like, comment on them. Half of the articles on Page Six are just like PR plants from celebrity podcasts because they all have so much money, so they can afford to hire. So it's like there's Tori Spelling from 90210. She has a podcast, and it's like, yeah, she could literally put $1 million in a bank account, and it just spits into a PR agent's bank account every month. And so then they quote them, and like the quotes are always like, "So I went to Trader Joe's." And they're just so nice there. And you're like,
on a groundbreaking episode right? of Spelling It Out. It's always
and
a name.
Like, yeah, like, and the title of the article, because like, the PR person has a relationship with Page Six, is like, Tori Spelling can't stand Trader Joe's.
And they go, well, now I want to read this salacious piece.
Now I'm reading the article. I'm linking to the page. I'm linking to the podcast.
And then you meet the people that actually manipulate media, and they're just little blonde girls on their phone, and they go, they said they'd do it. That's like always their reaction.
Every
they go,
PR.
Like, they go, okay, I have a meeting. I got to go. My other client's Tony the Tiger. He's getting accused of pedophilia. Tony the Tiger? He's around all those kids.
I knew he was creepy.
I knew it. That red bandana.
Oh, coaching baseball without a kid on the team.
Oh, my God. Doesn't wear pants around children.
What the fuck is wrong with this
Come
guy?
Come on, Anthony.
You're great.
Put some fucking pants on. Oh, positive. You're always great?
Yeah.
Little boy butt. It's great. And you go, sorry, I'm working with Tony the Tiger. He's trying to get on.
These PR agents, they are so powerful. And
they can I've literally watched them build people's careers.
Yeah. And
where
the
people,
money.
Where people are incapable of doing the job that they are called, but a PR agent makes them go like, Netflix is very excited about the new special. And you're like, I watched them do stand up. They can't even do stand up. And they go, they're selling out. They're selling out football stadiums. That's what's crazy.
$10,000 a month, just off the top.
You know, there was
these
a
people charged, and that I don't think the general public knows that like PR agents are paid like this ungodly sum of money,
like second baseman in the major leagues.
Absolutely. And if they're on like the team of like a big celebrity who's like they're just like paid forever.
Well, I think people started seeing that with that Blake Lively shit. Like it actually started unearthing like how actually manipulating PR people are.
Because they have the relationships and then
and they can make, and then you're leasing, you know, you're like reading an article from a newspaper. It's the one thing Trump has always been right about, which is that the media is just full of shit.
Right. Well,
it's just all full of shit. It's all people that are like you see what happened with Jeff Bezos, Washington Post, and all of a sudden Washington Post, who took down Nixon, who took down Watergate, and then they go, no, we're not going to endorse a president. And you go, that feels crazy.
What's going on?
And they go, we just don't. And then Jeff Bezos is there with his bald head and weird eyes and his super slutty new wife who's like, can I wear a bra? That lady.
Would you change your look?
If like I got a billionaire?
Yeah, he changed his look.
He's a dork.
I know, but now he dresses like he's going to go spelunking. Yeah. He's always like in a vest.
He wears Tomb Raider pants.
Yeah, he's big carabiner looking guy. Yeah.
I think what happens is it's the same with Zuckerberg. Mm. That they get so much money, guys stop calling them dorks and just start being like, you're the man, Zuck. You're the man. And he's like, buy me a thick collared t-shirt. Give me a gold chain. Like that episode with Rogan was embarrassing.
It's crazy how it was looked. The look, I didn't listen to it, but the
dude,
look.
The hunting part where Joe Rogan's like, what kind of bow you use? And Mark Zuckerberg is like, oh, I don't know. I can't remember it right now. Was totally.
Oh, it's like when my girlfriend lives in Canada. She's a model.
When I was in sixth grade, Ready to Die came out. Notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die came out. I was 11. I'm not down with the streets. I'm a white kid from the suburbs.
You're not ready to die?
I'm not ready to die. In fact, I was ready to live at that point. Yeah. But we're in gym class, right? Public middle school. Kids want to be cool. I'll never forget this moment because this is exactly what happened to Zuckerberg. And this girl, Mikey L, this black girl, she's like, I'm like, oh, I love Biggie. I love Notorious B.I.G. And she just goes, very matter of factly, she goes, is he a group or a person? Like that. And I went, he is a...
Oh, you were a house of cards.
Dude.
I go, brought down.
I go, he's a group? She goes, he's a person. And just walked away, defeated.
Yeah, done.
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 I was cooked.
They pulled the bottom of the Jenga.
Bye.
Gone.
Just crumbled. He a person or a group?
Yeah.
Fucking flat.
Game
me.
Over.
That was Zuckerberg's
Literally, Rogan. That was like a one punch
and then my
TKO.
Yeah. Oh, snoring?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened.
Big old fucking liar. Yeah.
And Rogan goes, what kind of bow you use? And Zuckerberg goes, oh.
You know, one of those like bows people use?
You're like, dude, you tried to like pivot hard to the bro.
With an arrow?
That's why I think it's really funny. And we've watched it. We watched it in the mid-teens, and now we're watching it really heavy now. People grift to a side politically is so fucking funny to
me. It's wild. We're seeing, you know, I was talking about it with Nimesh. We're like, we got drunk the other night.
Yeah.
And we're just like talking about like, it's so funny that, like, we know who these people are.
Yeah, like, if
we know who these comedians are. Like, we're talking about comics, and we're just like, it's so funny. Like, the comics that we know that are like, everyone's doing well, everyone's like going on the road, but they're doing, there's people doing so well with this grift.
Yeah.
That you go that like it's we're all just sitting here like in disbelief. Like but and it's like
the absolute ignoring of evidence from the past is mind-boggling. Where you go, well, he didn't act like that. And then all they have to do is go like, yeah, I didn't like the woke mind virus. And you go, that's not even how you talk.
It's like, crazy. It's like, I...
If you're a fan of a comic that just became political...
You have to wonder.
Shout out to those of my friends that like, dude, Nate Bargatze, I'm talking about 2007, was like, George W. Bush is the greatest president of all time. He has stayed the entire time. Nate stayed Nate. Shane... When I first met Shane, Shane's like, all these fucking idiot liberals thought Hillary was going to win. Stayed. Kept it the same way. By the way, friends of mine who are liberal, who are like I have friends that have stayed liberal. They're like, nah, right. I don't really know like that. And then you see the people that switch and you go, who are you?
The people that like got involved, like after having no opinion.
That's the craziest one
where you go, because like, I remember I the podcast with Betches, like I'm like the one straight dude there. I went on a podcast with them and I was like, they have another like political one. And I was like, you don't want me here. No. Like, I was like, I don't need to be here. Dude, and they're like, we're trying to hear from the straight white man of what happened. I'm like, I'm not going to be a good source for this.
If you ever see me go political, something is wrong. I have lost the ability to write a joke. And I am clawing for money, or I owe someone a lot of money.
This is what gets so annoying. I was on the road in San Francisco, and I got a chance to play at like a really nice golf course. Like,
sure.
That's the one thing about comedy that is crazy is like people just want you to be. They want to help you do shit in their town.
Yeah,
which is awesome. So I got help to go on this great golf course, and it's like we got done. I played with these like older guys. We get done by the end of it where they're like, come on, let's have a beer. We go have a beer. And these women were there. They're all drinking. And they're like, and Jared's a comedian. Like they're like introducing me. And the women were like, they're all like sassy. And they're like, what do you do?
What's your best joke?
Yeah. Tell us a joke. And they're being fun, sassy, but they're like, and I go, well, I talk about, they go, what do you talk about? And I go, my family. I don't know. I tell stories about my family. And they're like, oh, so you keep it safe. And I go, what are you trying to challenge my manhood? And like, I got so annoyed because I was like, safe? No. I have to paint a picture of people no one fucking knows.
That I love.
That I like. And then
bash them.
And crush them and hope that you somehow relate to people you've never met.
It's exactly.
You think that's safe? And I'm like, you know what's safe? Walking in a room knowing exactly who's for your side and against your side.
And just pandering to your side.
And just going to your side. And then if they leave, if someone gets angry, fuck them.
Yeah.
Dude. And it's like, you don't think that's the safest fucking shit in the world? Knowing how people are going to react before you even do the joke?
We were in San Francisco. Katie was working a Giants-Dodgers game, right? Mm. And so I wanted to go. It was like one of the best sports weekends of my life. I got to go see two Giants-Dodger games and a 49ers-Seahawks game. It was fucking unbelievable. So we're downtown in the hotel in San Francisco in Union Square, and I go fucking get lunch for us. And I'm like bringing it back to the hotel, and I'm in the elevator, and I have my San Francisco Giants hat on. And the guy in the elevator is like, oh, you going to the game? And I was like, yeah, going to the Dodger game, Giants-Dodgers this afternoon. And he's like, yeah, I'm going too. And he's wearing a Cleveland Indian shirt.
Okay.
And I go, well, who are you rooting for? Cleveland Indians.
The game.
And he went, dude, I would have taken that answer way more than the answer he gave me. Because I go, Cleveland Indians, who are you rooting for? He goes, oh, I wear this so people know I'm not politically correct. Aye. And I went, and it was him and his wife, and I went, oh.
Yeah,
and watching that guy's face get excited that I was going to be like, yeah. Instead, I was like, you dork. I kept calling him a tryhard. I go, you tryhard. And he was like, no, you don't understand. This is what his excuse was. He goes, I work in academia. This is like, they're really bad. They're really bad about politically correct. And I went, I don't care.
Yeah, you're just a fucking loser.
You're a dork.
Yeah, you're a loser.
It's the same way that like I watch some comics that were literally chosen by the industry. Like, I watch their careers in the industry, and then they get to a point where they're no longer, the industry's dead now. And they turn around and they go, yeah, the industry never wanted me. And you go, I can show you six travel shows and three other shows where you legitimately were chosen by the industry.
Right.
Do you think that's plucked. The part that plucked? That's the part that upsets me the most is like, you're acting like I don't have a memory.
Right. Right. You're acting I'm like not I don't. Stupid.
Like, like I didn't watch you.
I saw
be
the whole
a cutie
thing.
Pie for 15 years, and then all of a sudden you're like, we need to close the borders. And you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's so gross, because it's like, in high school, that's when you're supposed to get that out.
Right.
You want to act black, and you're a white kid from the burbs, do it in high school.
And you have the moment where someone goes, you're not that, that's not you. Or a solo act, and you realize, you're like, fuck, I am a giant liar. This isn't who I am.
Yes.
And I just don't understand how long you can live that. Like,
people
but they must be making so much money that
that's what it is. And then what it is now you're chasing the money, so you're just willing to say whatever you need. And by the way, both sides, far left, far right, it always crumbles. Well, and watching them return, there was a comic who fucking went far left and then got absolutely kicked out of that. Watching him try to come back and be like, literally did the thing.
Hey, everybody.
Where he literally, like, to us goes, right, guys? And you go, don't fucking touch me.
We watched
you
do
called
it.
Me my friend rapist.
Yeah.
Get the fuck away from me. He's like, no, that was just like crazy liberals that got in my head. You're like, no, you made a lot of money off that. Get the fuck out of here.
You did that. And that's the thing, the draw of that, like, is like, it's like gross, like, because we see it. We see it plain and simple. We're like, oh, I could do that. I could go that way.
Which,
I
by
could...
the way, every job, every person that works watching this has seen that happen at their job.
Right.
You see a kiss ass. You see someone that plays to the management when they act different in the break room, and then the management comes around and they're like, I saw that at Bed Bath & Beyond when I worked there. You're like, why are you being so nice to Eric? And you're like, oh, Eric does the schedules. That's why you're talking about baseball when I know you don't care about it with him.
Right. Do you even have like a compass? Yeah. Like, you go,
you know what I tell people like that? I started telling them, it's very subtle, but it's very fun. I go, you don't have a gag reflex, huh? And they'll go like, what? And then you're like, nah, I just noticed. I don't think you have a gag reflex. And then they're like, ow.
Right.
Because you're like, I'm watching you swallow log. And you're just absolutely not even kind of tearing eyed about it.
Just guzzling cum.
Because this will break. Like, now that people have learned how to grift politically, that will break.
It all comes to an end. If you're not doing genuinely you, what you like to do.
God.
It's over.
That's why I love watching people succeed that are genuinely, where you go like, no, that's really him.
That's
and it feels good. Like, people do that with McDaniel. They're like, is McDaniel, or the thing I hate is they'll be like, what, did Soder write that for you? You go, let me tell you something about McDaniel. Mm. That fucking weirdo, I would never be able to write for him. Right. I couldn't write, he wouldn't do the jokes I told him, but he's genuinely himself.
Right.
And so it's fun to watch people go like, I like him.
Right. Because that's the thing. People are going to not like you for being you. And it's like, you might as well just do you.
In the age of the internet, you'll hear it. Just fucking know it. If you know yourself, you're like, nah, they're not mad. There's a part of me that feels bad for these people that are grifting, because I go like, there has to be a moment that you're at home.
I mean, well,
where you're like, I'm a fraud.
Well, also, if I'm them, I'm aiming for like an amount of money where I can just like disappear.
Yes.
Like that, it doesn't seem like that's their goal. Like, if that was the goal, it would actually make more sense.
I would respect that.
Right. You go, okay, if I get to 100 million.
I'm gone.
C'est la vie. Goodbye. I'll be on my island. I'm out of here. I'm going to be the dad. I got my kids.
Yeah, but they want relevancy.
Right.
They want popularity.
The disease is that it's not about it. Some people, they want money, and some people want to make money. Yeah. And like, the people that want to make money are really fucking crazy. Like, that's when like the Elon doing this right now, why not disappear, man? Like, why not just be?
You have the most money anyone's ever had in the history of the world.
Right.
You could literally live in a volcano. You have the money to fund that. Go live in a volcano.
You could pet a cat in a volcano making rockets that look like penises. You could do Austin Powers.
Sick.
And I would go,
sick.
Good for him. And this other direction, I just don't have any understanding of it. Because I would be like, if I could just kind of go to like Like, what do you think you would do if you didn't have to do it all?
What do you mean? If I just could make money and go away?
If you, no, let's just say, like, tomorrow you could say, you could name the things you do and never have to do anything else, never worry about money ever again. What would your schedule be?
Oh, my God. I mean, probably just sleep in, eat breakfast, hang out with Katie, play video games.
Would you do stand-up still?
Yeah. I love doing stand-up.
Would you do this podcast?
No.
Okay.
And I would be dead honest. This is fun. I love hanging out. I love making stuff. I love being funny.
Right.
I just like being funny in general. And I do like doing a podcast, but I do wish that I just sold tickets doing stand-up.
Right.
But this helps, and I understand that. By the way, that's also probably why my career wasn't where, you know, for a long time, where was it where it should be, because I didn't do the things I didn't want to do. I go, no, I just want to be funny. I was like so stubborn about being like, well, I'm just going to be funny and then people will come.
Well, it's all the perspective. Like, to me, this is what gets you stand-up. You know, like...
What do you mean?
To me, this is serving stand-up.
Yes, I think, like, this is directly correlated.
Right, like you...
I didn't think acting was. I thought Billions was very fun. Mm-hmm. It was a very cool job.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. Met crazy interesting people. Never felt like something that was mine.
Right, and you don't...
Never felt like something of like, I can't wait to get on the next show. Right. I can't wait to get in the next movie. I can't wait to do the next thing. For a while, it kind of felt like, and this is just the truth, it kind of felt like it made my stand-up take a step back. Because now people are going like... Because when we see actors do stand-up, we go, oh, there's nothing left. They're grabbing on to stand-up. Right. And when people started going like, oh, you started doing stand-up. Dude, the night I got my HBO special was at the Comedy Cellar. I ran an hour for Nina at HBO. Mm-hmm. She literally got done with the show and went to my agent and went, we're going to give Dan an hour. My agent came up to me and was like, you got the hour from HBO. It's the greatest moment comedically of my career. HBO was still the pinnacle. It was unbelievable. And there was a guy sitting in the booth by the door to go downstairs, the booth next to the waiter station. That's where I had the conversation with my agent. And this guy's sitting there and he goes, you're on Billions. And I go, yeah, dude, I am. Literally the greatest comedic moment of my life at that point. And he goes, what are you doing here? And I go, I'm doing stand-up. And he goes, oh, you're trying stand-up?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I just got an HBO special.
Right.
Like, I just got an HBO hour.
The thing.
And I think I said that. I go, I just got an HBO hour. And he goes, well, that's cool if you just started doing it. And you're like. At that point, I was already doing it for 14 years.
Right.
But I'm not mad at the guy. He doesn't know.
Yeah, but people want to know why stand-up comics are like miserable. And it's like, this is kind of why.
Well, it's because you just go like, oh, I don't think he's that funny.
Right.
Or, oh, I didn't like him that much on the show.
And you go, I guess the thing I care about the most in the entire world.
But then when you get over that, you're like, what am I complaining about?
No.
I got health insurance. I got to be on a fucking cool show for 7 seasons.
Absolutely. It's a great experience.
But
you know, again, to go back to the premise of like, if you didn't have to do anything, what would you do? You wouldn't do that.
No.
You wouldn't go on a show. You would do stand-up. Like, I think,
if I had to pick one lane, if everyone had to pick one lane,
right,
and you just go that lane and you'll get it, you don't have to worry about anything.
You'll be okay with everything.
You would 100% just be standing.
Right.
And I do, here's the thing. I have a radio background. I liked doing radio.
Yeah.
I got fortunate that podcasting blew up.
Mm-hmm.
I do love, I have fun doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to like give me a situation where you're like, you can only do one thing, I would do stand up.
No, I wouldn't change.
What about you?
I wouldn't change a thing in my life. Like I get to go do stand-up. I like doing the podcast I do. I like get like...
Yeah, we're very fortunate. That's also the thing that I'm sick of is watching comics try to complain.
Well, that's what's so crazy is like we're seeing people that are like doing all these other things and you're like...
Don't do it.
But you have $1 billion.
Yeah.
I
have a number. I have a number and I'd go away.
Right.
I have a number. If I ever hit that number, you just won't see me anymore.
Right.
Flat out. Flat out,
I'll just walk into a Denver gas station,
you go,
soda, Dan big long soda? Beer.
I'm just doing the crossword. Yeah. I go, can I help you? Were you on Billions? I go, son of a bitch. Pump 5 is out. Get the fuck. I just pull a gun out from under the register. Son, you got about 5 seconds to get the fuck out of my gas station. But I really feel like, I've said on podcasts that I want to stop doing stand up by 60. And like people are blown away by that.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that gives me 18 more years to really push it. To give me a goal. If I'm lucky enough to make it to 60,
mm-hmm.
then I want to be pushing it because it'll make my best stuff. And then when I'm 60, like, I still might do stand-up shows.
Right.
But I won't be.
I kind of want the Ron. That guy seems like he has the great.
Bennington?
Not Bennington. Ron White?
Yeah, like retired.
He retired, but he kind of floats in and out of stand-up. Oh, dude, he just always lives, in a tux.
He's a man.
He looks like he's like he's a
man.
Good-looking fat guy.
Well, now he's like now he's wears, not fat. Now he's like tan. He's got the long white hair. But
he wears his stomach well.
He just is the man.
Yeah.
Ron White's just the man. He just hangs out at the mothership.
I envy everything about him, yeah.
He comes in, he's like, I'm just going to do my set.
Right.
He just does his set. By the way, cool as fuck. You talk to him, you're like, you're the fucking
He's still
man.
Drinking.
He just hangs.
Like, yeah, just...
He's just like, whatever,
he
man.
He kind of like drifts in like the wind. It's yeah. Like, yeah.
That's the way to go.
It's awesome. I
We need to start pushing retirement.
Right. We need to start pushing these people that are living comfortably, but they're not fucking like...
Pushing it.
Right. Like, I don't
By the way, I mean in every aspect. CEOs need to retire. Politicians need to retire. Old entertainers need to retire. Football coaches need to retire. Everybody that's old that did the thing...
Well, this is the boomer problem that no yes. one really like acknowledges.
The boomers, I say this to my mom all the time. I go, your generation isn't letting up.
They're holding on for dear life. I remember I once told my dad, I was like, yeah, you're like old. He was like, whoa. It was like the most offensive thing that I've ever said to him. And
so you're
like,
not looking around?
Right. Like, you don't.
Dude, it's crazy. And I'm going to blame Gen X. Why the fuck haven't you guys kicked them out yet?
Well, Gen X does it kind of escapes. They're like the one we don't talk about.
Yeah, it goes to millennials. They immediately shit on us.
Well, Gen X never took, like they were all, you know, wearing the, you know, the plaids and not getting it, you know,
counterculture. Thank you for grunge.
They never got political. They never got like aspirational. And then they brought up a generation of Gen Z. Bunch of fucking dickheads.
Yeah, who are mean.
Mean.
Gen Z is mean. And if you're mean back to them, they get very upset.
Very upset and tell you that you're, you know, alpha victim you.
This one guy, I was at the Village Underground, I was on a stairwell, and this like younger guy was like drunk, and he was like kind of being aggressive with this couple. I don't know if he knew him or whatever, but I just grabbed him by his arm and moved him, and it was, he acted shocked. He was like, what are you doing? And I was like, dog, you were about to push this couple down the stairs.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Move. I was like, chill out. All I said to him was chill out like six times. And he was like, and he was like a 22-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, you fucking pussy. Like, you were about to be physically aggressive. And then all I did was grab you and move you to the side. And he acted like I raped him.
Yeah.
Graped him. They can't even hear the word rape. They have to call it grape and you unalive yourself. Them. Yeah. Kill yourself. If you can't hear suicide, time to end it.
Well, it's like millennials were told you could be anything you want to be and then were like grossly disappointed with the reality.
Yeah.
And then Gen Z was told, get your fucking money and don't fucking listen to anyone and tell them to go fuck themselves. Yeah. And then
Selling out is cool.
Right. And then they went on TikTok and they found out they could make money by making a minute video. So they go, story time. And then they sit there and tell a long story that should have taken 30 seconds, but it took a minute so they could make the dough.
Yeah.
And it's like, now we're just like living under their thumb.
And
like
it's also like, that whole get the bag mentality has ruined so many celebrities for me.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly what you were talking. I know you're rich. Why are you doing this commercial?
What do you need it for?
Matthew McConaughey. Why are you doing Uber Eats again? Why are you doing Uber Eats?
He just likes making money. Like that. Yeah. He doesn't want to be rich. He doesn't want money. He wants
there ain't nothing more cooler than just getting another paycheck to push a product. It's probably going to bring you cancer. AI. Anybody that's in bed with AI, fuck you.
Well, hold on. All those crypto people. Larry David was in that crypto commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone just like casually forgets that. They wear t-shirts with his face.
It's like walking
into
your dad jerking off. You're like, yo, I don't want to ever see that.
The whole commercial was about how he was wrong about everything.
Yeah.
And then he ended up being wrong. It was like the crypto thing that like they all went, but it was the Samuel Bankman Fried thing.
Yeah, it was the fortune favors the bold Matt Damon.
Right.
Where Matt Damon, you're like, Matt Damon, can you please respond? I love you so much. You used me to sell crypto. Brady and Giselle.
They all did it. And we all just like kind of forgot.
Do you think celebrities are going to feel that pushback when the gambling epidemic hits?
No one's gonna be like,
hey, Kevin Hart, why did you make seven? Hey, LeBron, why were you doing DraftKings commercials during?
They've all gotten too rich to feel any pain. There's no pain to be felt. You can get rich. You can make your way out of cancellation.
God, like, damn, the revolution's going to be bloody.
It's going to be
bloody.
It's starting to look that way. Like,
and that's not politics, baby. That's human civilization.
Right. Like, I mean, like, listen, when I saw the Kelce brothers got $50 million to do a podcast.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. If you think of it like in our terms, we're like, we train to be good speakers, funny hosts, commentator.
Dude, I just interrupted you. Do you know how much that's going to bother me that I cut people off on my podcast because I get so excited for jokes? And people are right with their criticisms. I'm a stomper, baby. Been a stomper my whole life.
Listen,
I want to be funny. If I have a funny thought, I want to shoot it out my mouth, asshole.
You stomp
my
face, me to asshole. Make your stomping point.
I stomp to make the stomping point. But you're right. We train. We like think about this.
We think about this. And the idea that we trained at all is like, we're the fucking idiots. We're the losers. We should have became Hall of Fame NFL players. Then we could have had a talk show. Like, isn't that crazy? Don't you think that's like,
you know,
kind of baiting the losers? Yeah. Like, aren't you like, they're like messing?
They're like, you weren't good at football and you can't even make 100 million podcasting. Right. And you go, well, no. Kind of sucked at football.
I guess I suck at podcasting, yeah, too.
Jesus Christ. I'm fighting
Tory Spelling.
I'm fighting tooth and nail.
Reading ads. Tory Spelling.
I'm like stressed on how I'm going to sell these dates coming up. I'm like, I don't know. And then these people are like, yeah, well, after I won my 8th Olympic medal, I thought, I'm too sad. Let me podcast.
Here's what you got to do. You want to sell some tickets?
Yeah.
Start punting.
Can I tell you right
Become
now?
Become a good punter. And then do stand-up comedy. You know this guy did stand-up? He used us.
Who, Pat McAfee?
Yeah, he used us. He all of a sudden he's doing stand-up.
Yeah.
He was doing. He didn't give a fuck about the stand-up community.
I forgot he did stand-up.
He did stand-up. I saw him interview someone. This is when I knew this guy's a fucking fraud. I saw him interview. He interviewed someone.
Oh, that's not the way to talk about the boys. Right, boys? We're talking about the boys. What? Don't be against the boys.
Talk about a grifter.
Yeah, dude.
This guy, he was interviewing someone, and he was like, hey, what's on your notes section? He asked the guy, I can't remember. He goes, what's on your notes? On your, his big fun question on his interview show. Tell us what's on your notes. And the guy was like, what? What do you mean on my notes? He goes, the notes app on your phone. You know, my notes app, I got like 2 stand-up sets. And I rewound it. I was like, 2 stand-up? That's not how any stand-up comedian talks about. I got two sketches.
I got my sketches on my phone. You go,
like, what?
That's not what they're called at all. I want to watch a stand-up now. Is it out there?
I just remember him doing theater shows. And it's not, here's what makes me upset about it. It's not like he has like this like fun group of young comics to come through his show to give them opportunities. Like, he cares about the stand-up world. He doesn't give a shit about us. He cares about young punters.
But by the way,
I'm saying, listen, that's his people. Our people.
But also, stand-up's always been like that.
Right, we're like, the losers.
We are the last stop on the like, hey, I need relevancy.
Colin Quinn says it all the time, where he's like, when stand-up's cool, it's that it's the worst.
It's the worst.
And he's like, when it's not cool, that's
it's not
it's
supposed
good.
To be and cool. We're
he's
losers.
He's right. He's right. And it's like, that's why when people go bankrupt, they come to us.
Yeah.
Piven just showed up at the door.
I mean, and then by the way, and now you would think started in
stand-up. All the open mics, man.
All the open mics, doing check spots, going on the road as an MC, as a feature, really doing
it. Driving headliners all the way to Schenectady.
You know what it is? It really is like you marry the love of your life, and then some guy's like, yeah, she sucked me off in a bathroom, and you go, Christ.
What the fuck is this?
Jesus, man. Okay. But people are getting sick of stand-up, so don't worry. It'll be unpopular.
Yeah, again. I can tell it's losing its luster for...
Yeah.
You can kind of feel it.
Because I make this point. I say this to Katie all the time. You know what fucked us? MTV going away. Because it eliminated... There's a lot of people in this business that in stand-up that should be VJs. Right. That was where their career opportunity was.
You know...
And then they should have been on Entertainment Tonight.
John Candy would have been 75,
and instead they're doing 3,000 seat theaters going like,
do I like him or does he have bricks in his apartment?
And you're like, oh fuck me.
And they don't even know. Like, the thing is, I don't think people care. Like, I think a lot of people, like,
they don't give a shit.
I, you know, the TikTokers, the audience just wants to be in the room with them.
Yeah.
Which I can't, you can't really get mad at. Like, I kind of like, I go,
listen, it's fun to complain.
Good for you to be with someone that you love watching on a daily basis. Like, I actually
like, it's fun sitting on a couch complaining with you about it. It doesn't really bother me. Cause once you realize that, you go, there's no point.
No, it doesn't matter. Listen, I did a room in New Jersey last week, 110 people. You ever do that dojo room?
Oh, it's great.
It's a great room. And it's like, that's like a night. I did two shows there, got to work on stuff, got some new stuff out of it.
You were at the Cellar last night. This is fun.
Right. And I was like, I had a night at the Cellar, or I had a night at New York Comedy Club on Sunday. I was like, oh shit, I got like a new thing I can like chew on. And I was like, it is so interesting that like when you have that, you go, ah, this is what makes me feel good. Like, you know, you forget.
It's
fun
to talk. Listen, it's obvious.
It's easy to talk shit.
It's easy to talk shit. It's fun to talk shit.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I'm fucking crazy lucky.
And I would go on Pat McAfee's show tomorrow.
I'd go kick footballs with that big fucking lunatic. Are you kidding me? Show me your shoulders. Watch me kick this thing.
Him and his group of lookalikes from different parts of the country.
Yeah, that he's just, what if he's just harvesting them for organs? You know what's funny is they all have the same blood type. That's going to be the rumor I started about the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah, they're all.
I go, you know, they're all O positive. So in case like he loses a kidney or whatever, one of them.
He found
the guy in the cowboy hat's going to lose a kidney.
Right. Cowboy hat. Need your stem cells now. Pat's got to juice up.
It's for the boys. I'm using some of your tendons from knee for the boys.
I just look at some. I watch that show. I'm like, what a bunch of fucking losers. I've never been around.
Honestly, I keep it on. It's like, you know, it does that thing where you're like, I'm lonely. I'm lonely during the day.
I'm just happy to hear the chatter.
I go, what's going on with the Niners?
Football.
I love it. There is a part of me that still loves it. I go, I get it, but I love it. Also, Katie beat him in Madden.
Good for her.
On ESPN. You can look it up. I was in the room.
What time is it right now?
It's time for us to go.
What time is it?
5:02.
Oh, I got to get going. I'm supposed to interview The Bachelor.
Are you really?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
What time? Now?
I might have to get on your Zoom here if you don't mind.
Dude, do it. Get on the Zoom. Get on the thing. Jared.
No, I got a half hour. I got to go.
Jared Fried.
Thank you for having
listen
me.
Listen to his podcast. Watches. You got a new special coming out soon.
Special's on Netflix now. Hopefully the
there
new is one.
Already a special, but there's another one.
There's another one coming about my parents.
Jared Fried. That's coming. At Jared Fried. He's the man. I should have introduced him first.
Don't worry about it.